The assigned lectionary passage from the epistles for this Trinity Sunday comes words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, reading from the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. One of the great benefits of being on a 6-week sabbatical last year at this time is that I didn't have to prepare a sermon for Trinity Sunday. Because yes, this is that yearly time when good and learned preachers will try their hardest to explain the unexplainable God. And after all is said and done, God will remain unexplainable. But that does not mean that it's not important to a vibrant spiritual journey of faith to reflect upon your understanding of the nature and character of God. For that in turn will greatly influence both your beliefs and your practices and actions. And as Presbyterians, those of us here today who are Presbyterians, along though with every other mainline Protestant denomination as well as the Catholic and Orthodox churches, our starting point is what we call the triune nature of God. Our historical theological faith tradition claims that this one God is revealed to us or relates to us in three different ways. Using the old language, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But let's face it, this ancient doctrine of the Trinity uses language that is considered by many good and faithful Christians in our day and age to be confusing, misleading, hierarchical, and certainly patriarchal. But that's not too much of a surprise knowing its history. When those male bishops in a politically charged climate of Roman Emperor Constantine formulated this doctrine in the early 4th century. And that's why I find comfort in words of folks like Martin Luther, who stated at the beginning of the Protestant Reformation nearly 500 years ago, trying to comprehend the Trinity endangers your sanity. Or John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who declared, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a human being, and I will show you a human being that can comprehend God." Now, one way to deal with the mystery of the Trinity is to simply reject the notion altogether and never deal with it again. Some of the most progressive Christian theologians have decided that even though they no longer accept the ancient doctrine of the Trinity as written in the Nicene and Apostles' Creeds, they nonetheless seek to remain in the debate over how we understand the triune nature of God. As an example, I'd like to share the approach taken by the now retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spahn. But he writes, "I feel no great need to preserve the words of my religious past, but I never want to reject the experience of the past that caused the words of my faith story to come into being." He continues, "When I reject the traditional interpretation, I do not reject the experience that I am certain created the interpretive words." Do you notice the emphasis on the process of putting down into words how the early Christians experienced God. So a valid question for you and I is this. How do we experience God? When it comes to specifics, I guess there are probably as many different answers as there are human beings. But in my own journey of faith, I have found that Celtic spirituality has helped me to put into words how I have been experiencing God for quite some time now. As I've stated in previous sermons, I experience God not so much as a divine, almighty being out there, but as a sacred presence that has the potential to be found within all of creation. And yet I haven't lost sight that, as expressed by the Reverend Rob Gieselman, God is too big for your brain. You cannot capture nor contain God. And he correctly notes, tradition has reduced theological statements about God to writing. And in a wonderfully progressive approach to the issue, he continues, the problem with reducing articles of truth to writing is that we end up confusing what is written with the truth itself. We confuse the ink with the meaning. Words are finite, and truth like God is not. So the writing merely reflects the truth that has been experienced. The writing, though, cannot and does not contain the truth. So remember this. Experience precedes communication. In the case of the Trinity, we experience God as triune before we ever write down on paper Trinity. The traditional words, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, followed the experience of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thus, these three words express some semblance of description of the church's experience, but they are not the experience itself. For example, one person might identify God as Father, while some other person might identify God as parent, or mother, or creator. It is the experiential relationship being defined that counts, not the words used. So for no words or creeds can contain God fully, because God is much larger than ink and paper and all of those doctrinal pronouncements we're so fond of. Modern Christians are learning just how limiting words can be. So I find it ironic and sad that there are still those, and yes, within our presbytery, who want to hold everyone else's feet to the fire when it comes to dogmatically giving intellectual assent to printed words like those in the Apostles' Creed. So what I appreciate about the approach of progressive Christianity is that it seeks new ways to expand our understanding of God. For quite some time now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been replaced by many with Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Some even use metaphysical words for God, such as wisdom, light, and the dynamic of love. And others see the doctrine of Trinity as simply seeking to reveal the way God is experienced as a dynamic community. I like that understanding. Affirming the importance of relationship in human life that is a reflection of what it means to be created in God's image. And Trinitarian theology asserts that relationship is fundamental to the nature and character of God. And community is foundation of God's interaction with the world. In other words, God is community and God creates community. And when we live in love, the love of authentic community, We reflect the triune nature of God, who has established a covenant relationship with us. Now, some folks are fond of stating all of this as the triunity of God. But where does all of this leave us in terms of understanding the doctrine of the Trinity in our day and age? Well, I am currently taking a more simplistic approach to understanding the experience of God's sacred presence. So in a similar way of experiencing God as Father or Creator, I now state it as God beyond us. In a similar way of experiencing God as Son or Redeemer, I now state it as God among us. And in a similar way of experiencing God as the Holy Spirit or Sustainer, I now state it as God within us. God beyond, among, and within. That reflects an understanding that God is utterly transcendent, that God is present with and among us, and God is and dwells within each of us and all of creation. However, as stated in the ancient Celtic prayer that I use as my weekly benediction, God goes before us, behind us, above us, beneath us, beside us, and within us. Now, if that is your experience of God, then I guess we can still identify ourselves as Trinitarian. But let us never forget that God is indeed a divine mystery. For there is always something just beyond our knowing, just beyond our understanding, and certainly beyond our sense of certainty. But saying that, I encourage you to reflect upon how you articulate your experience of God and your understanding of the nature and character of God. For again, how you answer that will strongly influence what it is you believe and what it is you do. And yes, therefore, your relationship to others. And I am thankful for a community of faith like College Hill, where we can safely explore all of these things together in authentic relationship. Amen.